Seated. I want to thank all of you for going to bed early and getting up early. I wish they would leave it. They're supposed to leave it one way or the other, aren't they? Daylight savings? I don't know. I look for that day. But anyway, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll be looking at the second half of that chapter. And Paul, he writes to the Corinthians, and he writes about things that are pertinent to all of us. When I was growing up in our home, and everybody says this, not being my mother's favorite. Seriously, I was not. My older sister wasn't either. And we were treated, my mom had four children, in a secondary manner. We weren't treated badly, but we were not my mother's favorite either. That belonged to my older brother. And then later on, it kind of belonged to my younger brother. But my mother, she was a shrewd business person. And upon her death, she left the lion's share of her inheritance to my older brother, who says he's still alive. Upon his death, he will sell the house that he and my mother lived in and divide the proceeds with myself, my sister's child, and my younger brother. And honestly, the Lord is blessed, and I don't look forward to that day whatsoever. But saying this, Paul, in the first half of chapter 8, called for equality. Equality within the church. And that is what I look for from my mom. As a young man, I looked at my mother for equality, not favoritism, but equality. I felt like Jacob, who had Laban change his wages 10 times. My mother was always watching out for my older brother. And to this day, he still lives in the home that they shared, a two-story large home, and my mom died 12 years ago. So when Paul speaks of equality, he has my attention. And Paul, he declares, equality is from God. And he even writes that God is not a respecter of persons. Aren't we glad for that? The Jews, they're God's chosen people. But with their choosing came responsibility. And from the time of Abraham to the time of Christ, about roughly 2,000 years, the Jews were to be a light to the world, to the Gentiles. And then came the early church. The disciples go out, and Apostle Paul goes out, and the gospel we see was given to Peter and to Paul for all of mankind. And many Jews, the Hellenists in particular, thought otherwise. And these Jews would say and teach, yeah, it's good that you trust in Jesus, but how about circumcision? You should be circumcised and obey the laws of Moses for true salvation. We cannot add anything to the cross of Christ. We can't. Oh, we try to, but anything that is lasting comes from our Lord. Only the cross of Jesus saves us. And today, many people consider themselves special. There is a movement within the Christian church called prosperity teaching. And they teach, as a child of God, as one of the king's kids, you're to be treated special. You're to have no sickness, no poverty, no trials, only blessings. If that were the case, then the whole world would be Christian. But that teaching is rampant throughout the Christian church, and it's called the prosperity teaching. It's really popular when missionaries go to poor countries like Africa and so forth, and they begin to teach prosperity, and many people get pulled into Christianity on the hopes of prospering. But what God's word clearly declares, those who desire to be righteous will suffer persecution. Now, there's a promise you can hang on your refrigerator. Put that one up there. But back to our text. The church at Corinth, they promised a monetary gift to the church at Jerusalem. Even though the church at Corinth, and they of themselves, they lived in poverty. And the early church knew about poverty. And the book of Acts tells us that their early church, many of them sold all their belongings, including houses and property, and they pooled their money, thinking the Lord would return, and they spent all their wealth. But they were sharing with one another, and their money ran out. And now they're in need of assistance from the other churches. And we looked at how the Corinthian church desired to give to the Jerusalem church, even though they themselves were very poor. We read how giving is to be done by the grace of God, cheerfully and abundantly. And the Corinthian church gave and saved up to give and send a gift down to the Jerusalem church. And we talked about this last week. Now, our needs here at Calvary Chapel, they've been met. We own our little church. We own 5 acres of property here. We have a little money in the bank. But we're blessed by God. And we are allowed as a body of believers to give to needs that we see in and around us and in our community. There are many small churches like ourselves, but many of them are having to close up. They're having to close their doors because they owe too much money on their buildings and they have a lack of finances. And they struggle. And that's enough said about that. But Paul, as he moved to give thanks to the Corinthians for their giving, and he says, you're giving in a good way. You're giving with a cheerful heart to your fellow Christians there in Jerusalem. And that gift was to be delivered by Titus and Paul. So let's read 2 Corinthians 8:16-24. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with the gift which is administered to us by the glory of the Lord, of Lord himself, and to show your ready mind. They were ready to give. Avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and my fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Paul has been boasting of the Corinthians willing to give out of their poverty. And he compliments Titus, Paul does, and he compliments an unknown brethren. Who is this unknown brethren or brother that Paul is talking about? Maybe it's Luke. Maybe it's Barnabas, Silas, perhaps even Timothy. But it's some trusted fellow brother in the Lord. And he's going to go with them to deliver this gift down to Jerusalem. But he's unnamed. And Paul calls the gift that the Corinthians are given, he calls it lavish. Now that's a word I don't use very often. And Paul declares that this lavish gift is from the body of believers there at Corinth. The Corinth church, along with Paul and Titus, deal with money issues in a forthright manner. Now, we live in the Huntsville area. We're now the largest metropolitan area in the state. We're number one in America in places to live. Did you know that? Really? What are those other places like? But anyway. And the Church of the Highlands, which is just up the road, a very wealthy church, have built a very large campus church right up the street from us. And from what I hear about this Church of the Highlands, it's perhaps the largest church in America. And their main church is down in Birmingham. And I know very little about this church, except they are very wealthy. But there's a lot of big Calvary churches that are very big in numbers with very large budgets. And with these large numbers in a fellowship come large responsibilities. I have found that many of the large churches break up into home fellowships to have what we have in our koinonia. And they want small groups where there's accountability. We have our Friday evening fellowship at the Blakeleys, and I'm grateful for that. And so come on out, enjoy a potluck meal at 6, and then a Bible study at 7, and we have good fellowship. But a more in-depth look at Calvary Chapel, we recently have had the movie Jesus Revolution come out, and that's brought us a lot of publicity. So I suggest seeing the movie. It's a pretty good movie, and it shows in-depth the early 70s, the late 60s, when the hippies were involved in the boom of Calvary Chapel. Now, as I speak of the needs here, we do have online giving, and we have offering boxes in the back. But you may have noticed we don't pass an offering plate. And to my mother, who visited us a few times, she was shocked to find out that our needs were met without passing an offering plate. My mom, for all her entire life as a Christian, she was accustomed to being pressed by her church to give. I won't do that. I won't do that. You be a cheerful giver, don't bother. And we see, as we looked last week, the act of giving is an act of God's grace in our lives. And I like that a lot. The Corinthian church had wanted to give support to the Jerusalem church, and they themselves are in a state of poverty. They had to save up to send their gift down with Titus and Paul to Jerusalem. And Paul tells them, go ahead and now give from your heart that which you intended to do when you promised to give. And fulfill the grace of God in your giving. We have a responsibility as Christians, as believers, to support the Christian way, God's kingdom, the local church, call it what you will. And we, as the local church, have a responsibility to be giving to worthy causes all around us in our community. And we give to several what I consider worthy causes. One is Choose Life, Save a Life, or their new name, Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center. Choose Life, Save a Life is much easier. And their ministry is dedicated to encourage would-be mothers to have their babies. And they go to a great extent to educate mothers and fathers the need to have their babies. Years ago, when I first heard about this ministry, I decided I wanted to see what it was all about. And so I went down to their headquarters on Governor's Drive, unannounced. I just wanted to show up and see what they were about. And I was impressed by their dedication and love towards mothers, mostly unwed mothers. And they informed me they help mothers to see the need to have their baby. And we've been given to that ministry, 15 more years or so. And if our donation as a church only saves one child, then it's been worthwhile. As a church, we strongly feel the need to support full-term life. We look at abortion, and it's probably should be the one great sin that unites us as Christians, for we live in a nation that has a multitude of sinful behaviors. And after years of open abortion, the Roe v. Wade thing was reversed, and the power to not abort is now given back to the states. A victory for us Christians. But some states, and I won't name them, offer free transportation to their state for any would-be mother to come and have a free abortion. That is incredibly wicked. It's the only way you can say it. And I heard our president give a speech how he was for a mother's choice, pro-choice. And all that means is he supported abortion. This is an example of our government and their wicked agenda. As Americans, being a citizen of our country, we were once known for sending Christian missionaries throughout the world to different countries. Now our government supports death to infants. Our governmental leaders do not give financial aid to countries unless they have a program of birth control or quote-unquote legalized abortions. We don't help them. How long can God bless such behavior? I don't know. And many would-be mothers, they've been caught up into, quote-unquote, that it's a woman's right to have an abortion, have had abortion. To that mother, I would say, there is forgiveness. Repent of your sin, and God is gracious. He will forgive. Don't allow our anti-God government and their leaders, our leaders, to influence such a murderous agenda upon us as believers. So, we here, Madison County of Modesto, Madison County, I used to live in Modesto, that we'll continue to support life. Another ministry we support is One for Israel. We've only been on their support list a couple years or so. But One for Israel works in Israel to evangelize Jews and others and Arabs to receive Jesus as their Messiah, an evangelical ministry. And we felt like we should be involved in the evangelizing of Jewish people. We're told to pray for Jerusalem. We wanted to be helping Jerusalem. As believers, as Christians, we are to be light in a dark place. So don't hesitate. Don't pause to give your testimony. You're to be light to your neighbors, to your work friends, and so forth. So, having said that, we accept your tithe and offerings here, but we want to be giving to worthy causes as a body of believers. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we want to be about you and your kingdom. The world around us changes. Most of us that have any age on us have seen the change in our government towards Christianity. There once was a time when all our presidents openly attended church, just if nothing else for show. But we don't do that anymore. And religion has become secondary, and especially Christian religion has become secondary. Lord, we would pray that we would return to our Christian roots. We would be about you and your kingdom, and we would have the message of hope to anyone who needs to hear how you died to save the world, how you love the world so much you gave your only son. And so, Lord, let us be about you and your kingdom in our everyday life, in our giving, in our conversations. Let us be about you, Jesus, and telling the people the hope we have in you. So, Lord, we would pray. Lord, look upon us with mercy and grace, and we would pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. For, Lord, we grow weary when we see the ungodly traits of our government, the sinful ways of our government. It troubles us, Lord. Come, redeem us is our prayer. And so, Lord, let us each and every one be about you and your kingdom while we have the opportunity here on earth. So give us boldness, give us truth, and give us those that we can just proclaim that truth to, Lord. We would pray for that. So be with us, watch over us, and continue your blessings upon us is our prayer.